Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Amen. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, Peace, be still.
Yeah.
And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm.
Yeah.
And when he had said unto them, and he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?
Yes.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God. They're going to bless the shofar. We want you to give the Lord some praise for his word today. Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
We bless you today. We bless you this morning, God. We
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Hallelujah. 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 We thank the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. You may be seated this morning. And if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this song, simply, Fear Not or Fear What? Amen. Fear Not or Fear What? Amen. Mark gives us the only account of this story that is in the Bible. Amen. There are different perspectives in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, being those four Gospels. Amen. Mark always seems to portray Jesus throughout his description of the events and the things that he gives us as more of a servant. Amen. We see Matthew really focuses on Jesus being a king. Luke looks at him as a savior, and John as the son of God. Amen. And so this story in the book of Mark, amen, the only one that gives us the story in the Gospels, amen, is interesting because Mark also, there seems to be a lot of drama or a lot of powerful things and a lot of action, amen, that is listed in Mark's events and the things that Mark gives us. And you can see in the Gospels, that's why some of the same stories have different details, because based on how I believe that they saw Jesus or their mindset or their thinking, but Mark was the only one that gives us this story, amen. And so we see that they are on the Sea of Galilee by the prompting of Jesus, amen. They get in the boat, amen, and they're going over, crossing over, amen. They're on the Sea of Galilee, and a storm rises up on the water, as we know all too familiar about this story, amen. The storm on the Sea of Galilee was not anything unusual. That was not something that they would be surprised, amen. It was pretty normal for the winds to suddenly begin to sweep down from the surrounding hills and mountains that were there around the Sea of Galilee, amen. So it wasn't anything that was uncommon. It wasn't uncommon for, amen, this wind that to come down and to make the waters violent without warning. So it wasn't, they didn't have all of the technology we have to get a weather forecast, amen. They're telling us we can know days ahead. They're already talking about something coming next weekend, right? The probability, possibilities of it coming, amen. But it wasn't nothing of the unusual for those winds to just begin to violently sweep on the water without warning, amen. And so many of the disciples were also fishermen. So this was not the first time that they had been out on a boat on the Sea of Galilee. Also, it was not their first time of encountering one of these kind of wind storms that come and blow up upon the water all of a sudden without warning. Yet, amen, when the waves, amen, they had seen those storms, they knew the danger, but yet when those waves begin to crash against the boat and begin to overtake the boat, fear began to overtake them. They began to become afraid. Amen. And so it was not anything that was unfamiliar to them, yet they began to get afraid. Can I tell you that everyone deals with fear? I don't care how brave you think you are. I don't care how strong or how mighty you think you are. Everyone deals with fear. And can I make you understand today that fear is not just a Christian thing. Fear is not just something that is biblical. Amen. Fear, amen, is an atheistic thing. If I can say it like that, even those who say they don't believe in God deal with fear. Amen. So it's not just a religious thing or not just something, amen, that is a Christian thing or in the Bible. Amen. And I believe that fear is the source of all conflict. Amen. When we have that fear, when we fear of losing something, we have that fear of loss. We have that fear of not being enough. We have that fear of survival. We have that fear of the unknown. Now, amen. Fear seems to be the source of all conflict. And so I want to look this morning and just talk for just a few minutes about fear. What is fear? Fear is, at its core, it is a lack of trust. At the very core of fear, it is a lack of trust. Now, for those of us who are in covenant with God, it becomes a very deep spiritual thing. Amen. So that lack of trust becomes a lack of trust in God. So fear, at its core, is a lack of trust. Amen. Spiritually speaking, on that same note, I believe that fear is a form of worship. Because fear is faith in the enemy. It's quiet, isn't it? I said that one time, and someone got back with me and got really distraught because I said that fear is faith in the devil. Hang with me. Fear is a lie. Fear comes from the enemy. So when we believe what fear is presenting, we are putting our faith in what the enemy is saying. So fear is faith in the enemy. Yep. Amen. Yep. I'm trying to help us this morning. I want us to see something. I've been studying and looking at fear and faith. And as a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that our next Bible study is going to be on faith. Amen. Just the biblical context of faith. I think we have gotten a lot of it misproportioned and maybe out of context, and I'm pretty sure that's where we're going to go. But faith, that's why that fear is a form of worship, because whatever has our devotion and has our attention becomes what we worship. Come on, somebody. You say, oh, you're being hard today. It'll, come on. So fear is the perversion of godly faith or faith in the wrong thing. When we live in fear, when we operate or we allow fear, it is a perversion of godly faith, or it's putting our faith in the wrong thing. Now, what is faith? So if we're going to talk about fear is faith in the enemy, or it's putting our faith in the wrong thing, or it is a perversion of godly faith, then we have to look at what is faith. Faith is the expectation of something that you have no circumstantial evidence for. Right? Faith is the substance of what? Things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the expectation of something that you really have no circumstantial evidence for. But in heavenly terms, you can't see it. For we walk by faith and not by sight. sight. I'm not making anything up. I'm trying to give you context here in what the Bible says. Amen. So we have an expectation when we believe or we have faith in something. There is an expectation there of an outcome. So when you have faith in the fear, in what fear is saying, the expectation of what you are believing or what you think is going to happen is what fear is telling you. So you become to expect what fear is presenting. If fear comes to you and you have a fear of dying, then every time you have a pain or every time you get in a situation or every time you leave your house, anytime there's an opportunity, the expectation, what you have already decided, is that you're going to die. So your faith is in that. Come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? This might be another one of those more teaching than preaching this morning. Praise God. Last week we talked about the mind and about the brain, amen, and how, amen, the enemy knows our neurological chemistry much better than we do.
Yep.
And he knows how the mind works. He knows how God created the mind. And so he sets out to operate in that fashion. Okay? So, when we're living in fear, it's that expectation of things unseen that is flipped upside down. So when we have our faith, when we have godly faith, we're believing what? In everything that God says will be, right? We put our faith in his word, his words, if I can say it like that. We put faith in him, his character, and who he is. So fear is that inverted. It's flipped upside down, amen? So it's a perversion of that. So the expectation of things unseen is the flip side of godly faith. So we're expecting to see what fear says is true. Are you hearing me? Are you paying attention? Amen? Stay with me this morning. It's the expectation of something God hasn't intended for you. So fear is the expectation of something that God has not destined for your life. Now, God can give us warnings and prepare us, and we can be prepared. Are you with me? But fear is an expectation. When fear operates in our life, now there is spirits that are attached to fear. We're not going to go there this morning, okay? We're not going to go there in detail, but there are spirits that are attached to fear, okay? But fear is the expectation of something that God did not intend for you. Are you hearing me? And so, as we look at faith and as we look at fear, you have to understand that there are principles in the Bible that apply to even those who are outside of covenant. There are universal laws that are attached to anyone who is born and lives in this universe that are not attached to just covenant. We reap what we sow. Cast your bread upon the water, and it will come back to you. Are you hearing me? Amen. If you do good, you receive good. If you do evil, you receive evil. That is not a Christian thing. That is a principle, a universal law that rules the universe. That's why it rains on the just and the unjust. The difference is when we are in covenant with God, we have a covering and a promise. Somebody help me. That no matter what comes, no matter what we have to deal with, our God is with us. And he will take all things that were meant for evil, and somehow in his infinite intelligence, he will take them and make them for our good. Somebody help me. I feel a preacher that I need to be a teacher. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. So that's the difference to be is about. It feels good to be on the winning side, because no matter what happens with God, I am a victor. So I go from victory to victory. When I step, wherever the sole of your foot shall tread, it shall be given to you. That means it already belongs to you. So wherever I walk, here comes the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said the kingdom is at hand, and the kingdom is within you. I say it often, I'll say it again. It's not a power problem. We have an authority issue. And we do not grasp the authority that we have in the sonship of this covenant. That's why when the enemy comes in, he'll go running and screaming in seven different directions. What have I gotten myself into? That scripture, when the enemy comes in, amen, we can send him running, amen, seven different directions, amen. I'm blessed when I go in, and I'm blessed when I go out. I'm blessed when I get up, and I'm blessed when I go down. The works of my hands, the steps of my feet, the thoughts of my mind, I got the victory. Are you hearing me this morning? So there are principles in the scripture that will apply to those outside of the covenant. The difference is those who are in covenant can connect to the source when applying the principle. Well, come on. Let me say that again. The difference for those that are in covenant with God is that they are connected to the source when they are applying the principle. See, when we do good and it gets back to us, God is glorified. And he gives an increase. When you are outside of that, it stops right there. Are you hearing me? It doesn't have to go beyond that moment of reception. Are you hearing me? What's the Bible say about faith? Well, one of the things it says, but one of the things that probably everybody. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
I want you to let that sink in. Faith comes by hearing. Now, hearing comes by what?
The Word of God.
The Word of God. So let's look at this principle on faith. Can we do that for just a minute? Faith comes by hearing. So if faith can be created by what you're hearing, that's half the principle. That's a principle that applies to anyone who's living and breathing. Because everyone has faith. See, we say faith, we think it's a religious thing. Everyone has faith. I think, you know, sometimes I think about, I get out and get in my vehicle and I think, I do not think twice that this is not going to start. I have faith. And then when it don't, you're like, it just messes up your whole plan, right? Everyone has faith. I have faith that the person driving beside me on the freeway is going to stay in their lane. And there's days I wonder. I have faith that they're going to pay attention and they know the laws that rule the freeway. I'm convinced that many of them got them out of the Cracker Jack box. But you understand what I mean. Faith comes by hearing. That's half the principle. So faith is created by what we hear. So it's what you hear that makes the difference in what you put your faith in. I'll say that again. It's what you hear that makes the difference of what you put your faith in. So if you're constantly hearing negativity, death, amen, and fear and destruction, that's where your faith is going to go. Amen, the Bible teaches it. It's been proven by science, especially when it's your voice that says it. If your mind, we talked about our mind last week, and our brain, if your brain hears your voice repeat something at least three times, there's something that connects there. And no matter what you think or feel, your brain is going to spark and react based on what it has heard. That's why you've got to renew your brain every day. You've got to renew. And how do we renew it? By the Word of God. So this is a principle, amen, that applies to anyone, whether they are in covenant with God or not. That's half the principle, amen. But it matters, amen, if now. So faith comes by hearing. And if what you hear is what? The Word of God, then that's where you're going to begin to put your faith. Are you hearing me? That's where you're going to begin. And the more you hear the Word of God, faith is now created. And I say created in the sense that we are all given, born with a measure of faith. The Bible says that. Hallelujah. We often apply that to the size of a mustard seed is all that it takes to move a mountain. But that faith begins to grow. How do we know that? Because Jesus said, "O ye of little faith." And when he said, "When I come back, will I find faith?" There's great faith. There's good faith. There's a little faith. Are you with me? So when you hear the Word of God, it begins to take that little bit, and then it begins to grow. And then if you are connected to the source, then you begin to apply what you are putting your faith in to your life. And then when you see it come to pass, you now have a visible, tangible evidence that what you believed in that you could not see in the beginning now must be true, because you're watching it come to pass. Because can't nobody do me like Jesus. Do you understand me? Nobody saved me. Nobody rescued me like Jesus. Do you understand this morning? So now, again, fear is expectation of what God has not intended for you. So the more we allow fear to speak and we hear what fear says, that's where our faith is going. And the expectation that we have is what fear is telling you. It's true. Does that make sense to you? I'm trying to make this as ABC 1, 2, 3 as possible. Because see, I have a question for all of us, me included. I posed it to myself before. I'm posing it to you. When something happens, do we describe the problem or the promise? That's okay. I believe your truth is your truth. And I'm going to tell you, man, life just sure ain't the best these days. But if I say that every day, all day long, consistently, guess what? My expectation for tomorrow is going to be junkier than what today was. When in fact, today probably wasn't junky at all, in the sense that fear, are you understanding me, has made it to be. Hallelujah. Do you understand that this morning? Hallelujah. So I'm not saying that you can't explain how you feel and you can't describe, because that's my truth. Amen. I believe that we can be transparent where we can say, look, this ain't feeling good right now. I do not like where I am. I don't understand where I'm at. I don't like this season, or I don't understand why this person, I don't like feeling this pain, all of this. But if that's all we do, and we focus on just that, then that's where our faith is going. Our faith is in the pain instead of the stripes that Jesus bore already for our pain. Instead of the blood that was shed for the broken uncleanness of our heart. He was bruised for our iniquities. Come on, somebody. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. So peace is already mine. I've just got to put my faith in that peace. Are you hearing me this morning? We might have a Bible study on fear, too. I told you, I drive 45 minutes to work and 45 minutes home. So at 4 o'clock in the morning, when there ain't hardly many people, and I'm driving, and I'm meditating, and I'm listening to the Word of God, and so my mind just starts. And I'm going to lie to you. Sometimes I'll slow down, and I gotta put that somewhere before I forget, because I won't. And I'll pull up my notes on the phone, but I'll put in 3 or 4 words just to kind of rest from there, and then I'll get to work, and I'll pull it back, and I'll get on. I gotta write that down. I gotta put that in there before I go in, so before I forget. So as I was meditating and thinking about this fear and faith, see, I used to live in fear. Like, fear dominated my every day and every part of my being and my existence. And one of the greatest obstacles that I had to overcome when I began to step out of my comfort zone, began to step outside of fear and begin to consider, you know, and I thought considering obeying God was good enough. But it's not. But when I really started counting the calls, are you with me? Fear of man was one of the biggest obstacles that I faced. You know, this whole thing started out with me when we were traveling and singing, and I was 15 and just got saved in March, and here we are in August being asked to come to this church and sing at this, y'all remember Song Fest? Right? When there's 4 or 5 singing groups, you know, they all come in, set up their equipment and got all their instruments, and here comes me and Sandy with 2 acoustic guitars. And they got 5 singers, and it's just me and her singing, just a duet. And I'm like, I don't want to be here. All because, I've probably said it before, but you know, I got a guitar that year for Christmas. And so Sandy was teaching me to play the guitar, and she said, the best way to learn the rhythm is to sing while you're playing. So that's what I would do. I sang all the time. As a little kid, Merrick's the same way. He reminds me of myself. He sings all the time. Going around singing all the time. I tell him, guys, he reminds me of me. And he's a little singer, too. But I'm like, I sing all the time. Neighbors used to say, that boy sings all the time. I'll sing on the swing set. Sing. So I was singing with that. And then Sandy would come over, and she would be working with me. So she would just start singing with me because you just kind of did. And Mom heard us.
Oh, my.
And Mom went and told the pastor, these kids can sing. They need to get up and sing. So then there was a lady at church who organized these song fests, and she's like, I want you kids to come sing. So then she calls and is like, who should we say you are? Seriously, I'm telling you the truth. Jeff and Sandy. Do you have a name or something? So I'm like, no. So I'm talking to Mom, and you know, Mom said, well, let's just pray about it. And she said, the Lord spoke to her and said, abundant life. So we became abundant life gospel singers. So my point being is that, you know, you step out and you think that's enough. And you come out of your comfort zone. And I would stand in all of these scenarios while I'm singing about Jesus, are going through my mind. This one's thinking that. That one's thinking this. If someone would smile or someone would laugh, they're laughing at you. They're making fun of you. What are you doing up there? You don't belong up there. Listen to them. They get these other groups up there with all this full band and all of this, and we don't know squat. Seriously. And I'm thinking, I'm not getting up there. I left that service, went home, stood at the back door, cried, and said, I'm never doing that again. That's stupid. I told Mama, said, I'm not doing that again. But I did. But my point is, that went on for years. And there are still times today that the enemy will come with a voice and will say certain things. And you have to recognize. Because I put my faith in what I saw. Because fear told me, you're not good enough. You don't belong up there. And sad thing is, we did have singing groups make fun of us. I heard that. They would laugh. And of course, you know, the enemy just, See right there. So I'm telling you, that's not the only fear that I live with, but I understand. I understand what's happening. And so as I'm thinking about fear and faith, you know, you've heard that acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real. Well, I come up with a new one for my own to put in my life. Amen. And that is fear. Faith expecting artificial reality. Because it's fear is really faith in something. Are you hearing me? And so the expectation that your faith has in what fear is telling you is real, when in fact it really isn't. So fear is faith injected into the wrong destination. We put our faith into the wrong ending. Worst case scenario, right? And we, you know, you say, well, you got to think about the worst case scenario. Well, you can think about it, but that doesn't have to be with God. Why is God going to? He said, I will never what? Leave you nor forsake you. Yet fear comes. Can I tell you, fear creates anxiety. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Can I say that, that translated, that says, means fear nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And here's what you got to understand. The biggest thing that fear does is he works with our past. Right? It takes advantage of our past. And I've decided that I believe that fear is the gateway from your past to your future. And when we sit in our past and we have all of these regrets, anybody else besides me ever have regrets? Can I tell you that regret will anchor you to anxiety? And if you don't remove the regret from your past, you will not conquer anxiety in your future. Let me say that again. If you do not remove the regret from your past, Jesus died for us. Now there is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Amen. So if you, amen, if you do not remove that regret from your past, then you will not conquer the anxiety in the future. I heard a quote from someone that says, we see what we predict, not what's there. Think about that. Because the way the mind, God designed our mind, as we talked about last week, and the neurochemistry of our mind, that doesn't apply to being a Christian either. It's just when you become that, then the enemy takes it on that side. that after we have heard and put these things in our mind so many times, that's what we predict is going to happen. No matter what it looks like, no matter how different it is, we've already predicted that that's going to happen. Amen. Our expectation is a God-given power. And everyone has it. It is a God-given power. What we put our expectation in is going to decide what we receive from the Word. Are you hearing me? What we are looking for, we will find. Oh, really? Yeah. What did Jesus say? Seek, and you will find. If you look for the worst outcome long enough, and that is your expectation, guess what? You're going to find it. That's going to happen. No matter how good it is. We said it last weekend talking about the mind. We use an example. When a woman has a bad experience with a man, amen, and he does her wrong and mistreats her, now her mindset is that every man is going to end up doing the same thing. And so no matter how good that man is to her, no matter how well he treats her, she is going to expect him to eventually mistreat her. Because now her mind says, every man is a jerk. And it sabotages every relationship. Come on. Because no matter how good he is to her, and no matter how long he is good to her, in her mind, she has already predicted. Are you hearing me? So fear looks for a negative outcome. And if you look hard and long enough, you're going to find it. If you look long enough, you're going to find that outcome. Now we see fear overtake the disciples in Mark chapter 4. I said all of that. That's just part of my foundation. And I was trying to weave through what I should say and what I shouldn't say, and Lord, help me, give me wisdom, because I want you to leave here today with confidence.
Yes.
In the God that we have sat here for the last hour and worshiped. I want you to have confidence that he is for you and not just them. That he is your God and not just their God. Are you hearing me? That he is faithful to you to finish what he began in you and not just that one. Are you understanding me? That you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You do not have to be separated from the love of God, which is only founded in Christ Jesus. There's not a devil. There's not a storm. There's no height. There's no depth. There's no person. There's no angel. There's no demon that is able to separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It might work for them, but it is for you. And if he is for you, then who can be against you? Are you hearing me? Fear not, or fear what? Jesus was asleep in the sun. Not absent. Just asleep. He wasn't absent. Are you hearing me? Fear will tell you that God has forsaken you. Fear will have you in such regret over your past that it will tell you that there's no way that God will ever be able to use you. bless you and to give you all that is preached and taught and promised in the Word of God, that your seed is just destined to be destructive. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Fear will cause you to live in regret, so that every day you get up, you walk in anxiety, to where you feel like something's got to happen, something's got to break. And do you understand me? Hallelujah. Jesus was asleep in the boat, not absent. He was not unaware of the storm. He was resting in the storm.
Come on.
It wasn't that he was not aware of what was going on. It just did not scare him. Oh, come on, somebody. Are you hearing me? The storm didn't trouble him the way that it did the disciples. See, because what shook the boat did not shake his trust in the Father. Everything that was rocking the boat. Has anybody in here ever had your boat rocked? I kind of feel like mine's been rocking for a while now. Truthfully, that's right. Be honest, right? But thank God, by the grace of God, I'm still here. Can I tell you, you can't fight a demon with grace. A demon does not care about the grace of God over your life. You've got to fight a demon with the truth, with the authority, with the law that's... Come on, somebody, do you hear me? So what shook his boat didn't shake his trust in the Father. But they woke him in panic. Teacher, master, rabbi. However you want to translate it. It meant teacher. Okay, listen to that. The one that's teaching that. Teacher. Hey, what, do you not care that we're about to be killed? Do you not care that we are about to die? See, it wasn't just the wind that they were reacting to. Hold on to that for a minute. I don't want to talk a lot about my job because I'm going to ask some people at work end up watching this. Someday, I don't know. But you know, some people are easier to work with than other people. Right? Are we on the same page? Same brain? You know, we had a situation at work this week, not a big deal, you know, just people stuff, like, you know, people. And you know, some folks were upset by other people, you know, and what they're doing. And yesterday, you know, one of those people that were upset was talking to me about being upset with the people and working. And I said, here's the thing. They don't like anybody. Because I will tell you, from dealing with people and being a people myself, the issue is within them. Now, you got issues. I got issues. But that issue about you with them is in them. And as long as you handle your issues the way you're supposed to, and remember you got issues, then don't worry about what they think. But see, again, that's how the enemy operates. So it was not the wind that they were reacting to. It was what the storm had awakened in their hearts that they were reacting to. Because the wind will eventually go away. But fear don't. So if it ain't the wind, it's going to be something else or someone else. So what they were reacting to was the fear that had been awakened in their hearts by the wind. It wasn't the wind that they asked Jesus about. They never asked him to calm the wind. They said, "Do you not care that we are about to die?" So fear had already got them to predict that they were going to die. They weren't going to make it off the boat. Are you hearing me? That's why I said all that I said in the beginning, to get you to understand that fear is faith. Their expectation was death. They didn't ask Jesus to do anything. Now I'd be like, right? I'd be like, snap your fingers. Do something. Clap your hands. You're the creator of this universe. That, you know, the Torah says you were there in the beginning. They didn't ask him to calm the wind. They just said, "Aren't you concerned that we're about to die?" And he said, "You woke me up." And he stood up and he said, "Peace. Be still." The wind ceased and the waves obeyed him. I love that. They obeyed him. Whew. Though the storms of life are raging, when I'm tossed on life's sea and the waves cover me, the storm clouds won't let the sun shine through. Then a voice seems to say, "Child, there'll be a brighter day." Right? Because the wind, the waves, he tells them how far and when to stop and how far to go back. But he stood up and he said, "Peace, be still." And the wind and waves. The wind ceased and the waves obeyed. Let me tell you something. The calm of the water was not the true focus of the moment. See, we thank God if you'll just calm this storm, it'll be all right. When the storm is not the problem. It's what the storm stirred in your heart that's the issue. Which is why God will often allow the storm. Come on. That'll send you shaking and quaking. Their fear and their doubt and their suspicion. Think about it. The fear and the doubt and their suspicion that they had been forgotten. Don't you care about us? God, I don't understand why I'm going through this. Don't you care about what I'm going through? Come on, somebody. Don't act like you ain't ever got there in your mind. Even if you've never said it out loud, you've thought it, right? And fear will tell you, "Yup, nope." It's because this, that's when fear will take you back into your past and start hashing out all these other things. And it's not even your sinful past, just in your past. That's why you've got to let go of regret. You've got to let the condemnation fall at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah. The mess ups, the mistakes, the failures, the redos, the plays, the times that you get down, got up, went down, got up, went down, got up, went down, got up. Listen, if a righteous man will fall seven times, he'll get up seven times. If a righteous man falls, what do you think an unrighteous man will do? I'm not saying that we have permission to fall. I'm telling you that failure is not out of the equation because we are not yet perfected.
Right.
But the word that is in us is perfect.
Yes.
They were afraid that they had been forgotten and they were going to be left there to die. Now, see, they didn't have all of these sonar and all of this technology. That they got lost at sea, they just wasn't coming back home. There wasn't nobody gonna search for them and amen, have a rescue team, a diving team, and all that kind of thing. You understand? Completely forgotten. Jesus said to them right after, the wind ceased and the waves obeyed. This is why the calm of the water wasn't the true focus of the moment. Jesus asked them a question. He said, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Don't you have trust even now? Even now, he says. Don't you have trust even now? See, here's me. I'd have been rebuking them before I told the wind to hush. I'd have been, get a hold of yourself. What are you so afraid of? That wind ain't going to, that wind's not going to take us out. Don't you understand who is with you? Are you hearing me? Right. He didn't rebuke them before the miracle. It was after the miracle that he rebuked them. That'll help somebody on Tuesday if you'll let it. What does that show us? That he didn't rebuke them before the miracle. That the storm wasn't only an external threat, but it was really revealing a test. The storm wasn't the threat at all. That's why Jesus is like, I got this. But now we need to talk about you. What's all this going on in here?
Right.
What's all this? What's happening here? This is a test, and only a test. I used to hate that when I was a kid. Man, when you only had three channels and that sound. Come across the screen, interrupting your favorite show.
Yes.
This is a test, only a test. The Lord is a way. And you know my thought was, nothing ever happens.
Right.
I used to say that. Nothing ever happens. That's never had to be used. You understand what I mean? The storm wasn't the issue. That wasn't just the external threat. It was an internal. It exposed how fast fear replaced their trust. That quick. That's what I want you to get a hold of this morning. That how fast fear replaced their trust. This is why fear is faith accepting artificial reality. How quick fear replaced their trust. It wasn't that they didn't trust. Come on. But they allowed fear to replace that trust. Even with Jesus present on the boat. You and I'd be like, well, if Jesus was on the boat, you know, I wouldn't be afraid. Come on. Come on. He is everywhere you go. Why are we afraid? Did not his word say, I'm with you always? Faith is what we don't see, right? We have to believe and know that he is with us. Come on. So he is in the boat when the storms of life are raging. He is present in the boat. Why do we not trust? Why do we let fear replace that trust? See, the disciples assumed that peace was the absence of danger. It's not. Peace is not the absence of conflict. They assumed that peace comes when the storm is gone. Jesus was teaching them something different. He was teaching them that peace meant they trusted in his presence. That's what peace meant. That's why he said, my peace, I leave with you. My peace, not as the world gives, but as only I can give you. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Peace is not the absence of conflict or the absence of danger. Peace is trusting in his presence, even when danger won't go away. So even when the storm did not cease, peace is trusting that Jesus is on this boat, and that storm does not have the power to take out who he is. See, but you got to understand that they really did not fully know who he was at this point. See, the greater issue wasn't in the sea. It was in their hearts. The problem isn't the other person. The problem isn't the conflict. The problem isn't the trial. The issue is, how will we respond? How is it going to affect us? What is the expectation that we have based on what we have heard? See, Jesus showed his authority beyond creation. Because he's got authority over creation, right? But he showed his authority beyond creation. He showed his authority to go into the inner life of those that follow him. So his authority to go into your heart and say, Shane, I was wounded for that brokenness in your heart. Let me bind up your broken heart. He came to bind the brokenhearted and to loose the captives. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I'm trying to finish this up. He can command the wind and the storm and the waves to cease. But the hearts have to be at rest as well. And their heart was not at rest in his presence. The storms, the fiery furnaces are nothing for God. Because it's not a power issue. It's a dominion and authority perception. Are you hearing me? Can I tell you? Faith is a proven by calm circumstances. We see this in the story. Faith is not proven in the calm circumstances, but trusting God who is with us when circumstances aren't calm is when faith begins to be released. When everything else is helter-skelter and everything is out of sorts and nothing makes sense, having our trust in God, that he is with us, for us, in us, over us, under us, around us. Are you hearing me? We have, ooh, hallelujah, we have the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of us. Resurrection power. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? So much so that the disciples, have you ever thought about this? The disciples looked at each other and said, who is this man? In other words, we don't really know him like we think we do. We know who he says he is, but do we know him? Who is this man? that the wind and the seas obey him. Who is that? They could not listen. Here's what I want you to understand. Because this is where the difference in them and us comes in. They couldn't know fully who he was until they witnessed him endure the suffering, the shame, and death on the cross. They could not fully know who he was until they saw him trusting the Father completely through all of that. He spoke not a word. So much so that even the soldiers, when Jesus cried, "It is finished," they said, "Surely this is the Son of God." So they could not fully know him until they witnessed him endure all of that, trusting in his heavenly Father completely, then raising from the dead. Then that resurrection. So the storm simply became a moment where fear was exposed and faith was challenged. Just a moment. It was literally became just a moment where the fear was exposed and their faith was challenged. But also, think of this, trust was being formed at the same time. That's why we can praise him for the valleys and the storms and the mountains. We can look back when we're up on top of the mountain, back down the valley, and think, "I never thought I'd make it out of there, but God, I thank you because I know you better now that I was there than I did before, and I know myself." Come on, somebody, do you hear me? That's how it's supposed to work. Because our lack of ability to contain the intelligence and the wisdom of God, we can't comprehend it. God has to give us bits of time. So the conviction here wasn't to wonder at his power. Oh, look what Jesus did. But the conviction was to rest in his presence. And that's what I want you to get today. As we're in this 21 days and moving into this new year, is we get so honed in on focusing on his power that we still walk around anxious and fearful whenever the focus should be to rest in his presence. "Though I make my bed in Sheol, you are there with me." Are you hearing me? It really wasn't the wind and waves that needed to be commanded to be still. It was the hearts of the disciples that needed calm down. And I'm learning that. That how is my heart when the storm ends? What's my posture when the trial is finished? Are you with me? Are you hearing me? When Jesus says, "Fear not, for I will be with you." So the question is, either fear not or fear what? Because there's going to be something replacing. Are you hearing me? There's going to be something. Replace it. Where is your faith invested in? They expected to die. That's what their faith anticipated. That's what their faith expected. They didn't expect to make it off the boat. But then, Jesus I said, "Why are you so afraid?" The resurrection power See, that's what you gotta understand. The resurrection is such a key part of the gospel and the covenant plan that God had, because there's no other. Say they have resurrected. And that power is within us. That dunamis power, that resurrection power. So what are you afraid of? I was not going to, because I feel like there's more about fear that I could say or need to say, so I really wasn't in my mind preparing to preach today about fear, but he wouldn't let me get away from it. So that tells me that somebody's here today by the divine providence of God. If you're a first-time visitor, you've got your number. This message is for you. And it's not from me, it's from God. If you're here today, this tells me that there's some people in here who are putting their faith in artificial reality. Their expectation is what fear is telling you is going to be. You've got to let go and leave regret at the foot of the cross. Because it will keep you anchored in anxiety, and you will never walk in the full peace. Because see, that's the difference in them and us. We know all of this about Jesus now. They didn't know it then. We know it now. And until you experience the love of God in the fullness through Christ Jesus, you'll never have that peace that passes all understanding. Funny, they always, worship practice, they're always asking if there's a song that they can do that goes along with the message. And I can't think of songs. My brain is just, you know, all my files are full. It's not that I can't remember, it's just all my files are full and they're all open. All the tabs are open, that's the problem. Right? Like you got all these tabs for all these years open and all these files, and you're trying to. You're like, I don't know, let me go to this file and see if I can find it. 1978, I don't know. But they said, so is there a song? I said, well, if you got a song, either a song about faith or fear. And Hayden's like, well, that's the polar opposite. Yeah, but you ask. But fear is faith in the wrong thing. Are you with me? So they really, I don't know, I'm struggling there, right? Like, because fear is faith injected in the wrong direction and the wrong destiny. And I think of all the little moments in his presence that I missed because I let fear dictate my thoughts. That's why I'm thankful that he will restore the years that the enemy has stolen, that the locusts have eaten. So as they come to the music, you stand with me across this place. I trust this message something in this message has strengthened your heart. But if you're present today and you don't have a relationship with God through salvation in Jesus Christ, you're the reason Jesus came. To seek and save those who were lost. You say, I don't know. I didn't know I was lost. That's the key. Realizing that without Jesus, hope is only temporary. Happiness is only temporal. You can have peace. So if you don't know him today, I want to ask you to consider saying yes to Jesus. And if you don't know how to pray and repent, then there's people here that will help you, that can walk you through that. If you're here today and you're struggling with your faith in the wrong expectation or fear dominates your thoughts. And again, there's spirits that can become attached to fear. That's not what we're talking about today. Not that we can't deal with that. But maybe you're here today and your boat is being rocked and the enemy has convinced you that God is not there.
Yeah.
Stuck in your past. Regret. I want you to come. If you're not saved, I want you to come. Make this invitation right now to come and give your life to Jesus. If you are dealing with any of those things, I want you to come. We want to pray.